when Limerick, champions of the province of Munster, for the first time since the year 1981, they did it in fine style. Really convincing winners at the end. 25 points for Limerick, clear 2 goals and 10. Unbelievable celebrations around Simple Stadium in Thurles. Limerick supporters were starved. There was starvation too and clear because they haven't won a title since 1932. And that's the statistic that remains.
The fact that we were such neighbouring counties and there was such a crossover of people working in Clare from Limerick and vice versa. There was times when even when we played challenge matches and league matches, that playing in goals, you'd have a small bit of time to be looking around, and there was nearly more entertainment up in the terraces between the supporters having a go off each other than there was in the field at times. But that rivalry was there, and look, that's what makes the game what it is. It's tribal, it's what you want to be in the middle of, and it's what gets the blood racing.
It's all over. Clare are the Munster champions in Thurles. Look at the scenes of celebration. They've beaten the famous Limerick.
There was animosity for a while. I don't think anything that lingered into the 2000s or anything like that. Great friends and neighbours, really, I would think. But great rivals.
The 1990s, especially the middle part of the 90s, belonged to Limerick and Clare. When you look back in the 80s, Cork and Tipperary dominated the championship. But the 90s, particularly in those mid-90s, Limerick and Clare were the teams. Limerick 94, Clare 95, Limerick 96, Clare 97 and 98. They were mecca days for followers of Limerick and Clare, those 1990s. So, yes, 96 was teed up as... Let's put it, the champions of the last 2 years, Limerick from 94, Clare from 95, meeting in round 3.
Started out, I would have come on to the Clare panel in 89, and then in 90, we would have met Limerick in Ennis, and they hammered us, literally. Beat us out the gate, and I think we scored about 1-5. And then the following year, we drew them again in Munster, and we had Len Gamer on board at that stage, and you know, we were much better prepared, and Limerick were still better than us. You know, Limerick were a good team around then. They were quite unlucky in that Munster final, actually. I think it was 92. You know, I remember the famous one that Tomás McCahy threw up the ball and caught it again on the blind side of the ref. But yeah, they had very strong, experienced guys, as well as the lads we went on to have so many battles with. And, you know, we were closer to them in 91, but they still beat us well.
We say in 1990 we played Clare in Cusick Park in Ennis, and we gave them a bit of a trimming, I think, back there. Dalo, Davy Fitz, John Minogue in Flannan, the college, the school teacher in Flannan College, they were all that. Dalo, as I said, made his debut, I think, that day. Davy made his debut that day, and they got a bit of a trimming that day off us. And it was like, All that time, Luke, around that time, you'd have had the bridge, 6 mile bridge would have been going well, and Team Patrick's Well, Clahan, clubs like that would have been, the Clare border being so close to us. We didn't know a lot of the Clare players, a lot of Clare Castle players, because you would have been playing against them with challenge matches with clubs, Clahan and the bridge, Patrick's Well and Cracklow, or Shannon, Wolf Tones were beginning to come at that stage as well. Rivalry was on the field at inter-county level, but it was also there at club level. And over that period of time as well, you had Patrick's Well, Bally Brown playing club, Munster club finals against, in the 80s there, against the bridge and stuff. So the rivalry would have been gradually coming to a head.
People talk about Cork and Tipperary, but I mean, County Tipperary doesn't come into Cork City like County Clare comes into Limerick City, and there's an overlap there. We go to school together. We work together.
I work and have worked all my life in Limerick City, so would have met plenty of Clare people working this side. And like, I think the rivalry like is always there inter-county, I suppose, with all the counties around us. When you start to play a team more often, that always rivalry starts to go up and up and up. And sure, it's one of the real things about the GAA, that like clubs that are close to each other tend to be our biggest rivals. And inter-county, it just happens to be the same thing, that you like to get one over on the neighbour.
Obviously, Shannon was a hotbed, and you know, I think what was upset Clare people was that Limerick would claim that Shannon was in Limerick, and that used to upset quite a lot of Clare people.
You couldn't get away with it. I mean, like, Pat Spitz, Clare County Board Secretary, was working in the airport at the time. I remember I was working out, there were 32, Dale was working in the bank, and Shannon, if you turned either way, you were always meeting the rivalry. I mean, like, at times it was nearly closer to getting the belt at work at the rivalry than you were getting closer to it on the field, because it was all around you, and there's so much heritage and tradition attached to it, that Limerick and Clare.
What always added to that was Shannon and the airport and the industrial estate, was fellas working beside each other. You know, I even worked in the airport for a couple of summer holidays there, and it was half and half, Limerick and Clare lads. So the slagging would always be there. But we weren't at Limerick's level when I started at all. Limerick would have been contenders every year, whereas we wouldn't be. Kind of famously for us, our first championship victory, I think, since 87, kind of caught them unawares a bit in Ennis in 93. We were raced into a huge lead and they came back at us all right, but we held on. And subsequently then, of course, the rivalry notched up because we were beginning to match them. But they gave us a good lick in the 94 Munster final.
Photographers huddled around the Limerick bench. It looks as if Limerick are going to win their Munster championship title. Almost certain, barring something spectacular happens. In towards the goal, the cut by Michael Hoolan. Gary Kirby brings it down. Still has it. It's all over! Limerick are champions of Munster. Win. Limerick champions of the province of Munster for the first time since the year 1981. They've done it in fine style. Really convincing winners at the end. 25 points for Limerick, Clare 2 goals and 10. Unbelievable celebrations around Simple Stadium and Thurles. Limerick supporters were starved. There was starvation too in Clare because they haven't won a title since 1932. And that's the statistic that remains. Limerick have reached a 13-year gap. A fine performance, perhaps to get many supporters scared throughout this game, throughout the league campaign, throughout the provincial championship.
Fortunate with my timing in that 94 was my first year on the Limerick Senior Hurling Panel, and it happened to be a good season. The victory over Clare was huge, a big result for Limerick at the time, and to win a Munster Championship, obviously personally, and for Limerick is huge any time, and it just got everything off to a good start.
Sherlock Nan came in and we regrouped, and our younger lads were getting a bit older, so we had the better of it in 95. And we won fairly well in the 95 final. I think they probably still underestimated us a bit in that everyone was talking about a repeat of Offaly and Limerick at that stage. I suppose at the time, I've often said, like, at the time, I probably wasn't too sorry that they didn't collect the All-Ireland. We did. But, you know, it's only in later life when you meet the boys and meet them at various things. And, you know, I worked, obviously, with the academy for 3 years as well there. You know, you get to know them better, and it was such a pity, really, because they were a fantastic team, you know.
When you consider, like, the likes of Kieran Carey, Gary Kirby, and guys that were really, really outstanding all-stars, and they were very, very good hurlers. Mike Coolhan and guys like that really have deserved all-stars and deserved to win All-Ireland medals. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. And you see, you're obviously not going to mention names, but you see players that were playing in that Clare team, and you know for a fact that they wouldn't make the Limerick team, and they were picking up All-Ireland medals. It's, at times, that's the way a player will think.
I think probably in 95 it probably affected us because we kind of felt that we should have won in 94 and we went into the Munster final. I remember talking to one of the lads, like, I think it was Mike Galligan, and he rang me the night before we played Clare in the Munster final in 95. And he said, "Ah, Jesus," he said, "I'm listening to Clare radio there. Clare are all up for this, that they're fully confident of beating us." And I kind of just said to myself, we want to be very careful of these guys tomorrow.
The story, I suppose, in 95, I remember we came from Cashel that day. And as we came into the pitch in Thurles, we came in the bus, and Limerick supporters were in front of us, tanked up with a few pints and things like that, you know. And the supporters recognised that it was the Clare hurling team, you know, and they all started singing, "What a waste of time." And we were saying, Jesus, the boys and the players were saying, Jesus, you know, this really motivated the players, you know. And that really drove them on, I think, you know. They were kind of hitting at the bus, they said, "What a waste the time." You know, the usual crack that goes on with lads and supporters and things like that.
Limerick have the free, Galligan taking it. Respectability is what Limerick can hope for now, in towards the goal, and Pat Heffernan has it. Grab, turn, strike. Great save by Dave Fitzgerald. What a game he's played. 5 saves he's made of top draw standard. Clear about. It's all over. Clear of the Munster champions in Thurles. Look at the scenes of celebration. They've beaten the favourite Limerick, 117 to 11 points. Disappointment for Tom Ryan, delight for Sherlock Nan. 63 years they've been waiting for this day, had the supporters of Clare from Cushin, Durafield.
You know, Jim, Clare had won 95 in very controversial circumstances in 95. And I felt a bit you know, like, wronged in that in Thurles, you know. And we had a bus, like everything else. It was in that particular time, there was no back door. There was no draw the following morning for qualifier rating, because every match was a final, and that was it. We had to lick our wounds and leave Tullis and come back and prepare for the following year.
I think Tom Ryan, who was such a character over that team as well, always had something to say in the paper that we started up with him. So we all knew Tom and we knew the crack with him, and he was great as well. Like, you'd have to enjoy him anytime you met him. But yeah, Tom kind of came out that we took Gary Kilby out of it once they both that sort of thing festered a bit all that winter, and the league match, I think, that winter between us was fairly hot and heavy, and both sets of supporters then really, Limerick always had kind of bigger support than us, I have to admit, and always to this day, Limerick have tremendous support, but the Clare crowd were really west and east and north and south were really behind this Clare team because of the breakthrough. Yeah, it did lead to fairly hot and heavy stuff now.
Clare had never beaten Limerick in the Munster final, and they had a situation 30 years before, 1955. Clare were red-hot favourites in 55. They'd beaten Tipperary and Cork to get to Munster final, and meeting an unfancied Limerick side were hammered by 10 points that day. When we talk about 94 in terms of the Offaly game with Limerick, the 1955 Munster final was that tenfold to the people of Clare. And if you talk to the likes of Gerlach Nan or people from pre-95 Clare, that game was a huge duck that they broke in 95 when they beat us in the Munster final.
There was nearly a hatred between us, and I probably remember in 95 watching the All-Ireland final, and despite the fact what Offaly had done to us in 94, I probably wanted them to beat Clare because I didn't want them to be the ones to break the duck and get over the line. And to be fair, they're a serious team. Like their back six and Davy, like their back seven was phenomenal.
A lot of celebrating was done, you know, and had to be. You know, it had to be. You know, the lads were pulled, drawn and quartered, we say, for 12 months after... You know, for 6 or 7 months after winning the All-Ireland, they were when we should have been training, we were celebrating, if you know what I mean, you know. So we were kind of conscious, all right, of taking Limerick on that, you know. It was the worst possible draw for us to get. It was great to get a semi-final, but the worst possible draw was to get Limerick, because they were out for revenge from 95, you know what I mean?
Yeah, look, we had, I just say, like, I think we beat them, the 94 was the final, they beat us, 95 was the final. So for the of us, was David Donovan won All Ireland 95, we did in 94, so we had a lot to answer for in 96.
In 94, drove them on to put that to right and to make up for the disappointment that everyone felt. And, you know, the shame of it is, you know, this team was good enough to win in All-Ireland. It just didn't materialise for various reasons along the way.
We didn't really know, I suppose, like, after the disappointment of 95 and the disappointment of, like, of 94. You know, we were coming, like, and with as to what we were going to produce, like, for 96.
Tom Ryan was Tom Ryan. I was often at the receiving end of a bit of a lashing from Tom, but at the end of the day, we remain good friends. You know, he and Dave Mahidi ran the show, but there were others as well. Liam Lennon, Bernie Savage, Rory Kiley, they were all part of this management team. But Tom himself was a survivor from 73. He had been involved with Ballybrown when they won the Munster Championship and contested the All-Ireland final. So he had been there, and he was, from his perspective and from our perspective, he was a very good manager.
When you be going very well and you think you'll probably be getting a bit complacent, you do something wrong and he'd have a cut off you. So the next time I used to go out, I'd be going out and going, well, I'm going to prove him wrong. Definitely worked for me. I played my best hurling under Tom Ryan. Look, he was a great motivator. That's one thing I will say for him. And to be fair, the team that was in with him, let's say Dave was ahead of his game. We had Charles Hanley was kind of the liaison officer. He was kind of between the management and the players and stuff, and he was top class. Everything used to be organised to a T, you know. So there was a good bunch of people in the management team that time.
I certainly left the team preparation and the whole physicality and the physical and the motivation part of it. To Dave Mahidi, and I was very lucky. I mean, in that period that we had Mahidi, you know, he had gone through it all at different levels, you know, like in different codes. Like, you had Dave Mahidi and you had Charlie Hanley. You know, Charlie Hanley done as much work and quality at that particular time as anybody. He kept the whole show on the road and kept the whole show together. Like,
I mean, some of the sessions that we did were savage. They were in the old Maguire's field when before it is what it is now, where you'd be up to your ankles in muck during the winter. and nobody flinched. Everyone did it.
We'd have been super fit, I suppose. You know, the training, I remember when you start back, we go to Maguire's Field side in UL, and you know, the toss of it, the training we did back then, it was savage stuff, ultimately. You knew when it came to the championship, you were right. Like, you had the effort put in, the hard nights put in, which has to, which had to be done. And if you hadn't done, you'd be found out fairly rapidly.
The 96 thing was just massive, but obviously we didn't know Limerick had to go to Cork first, so it wasn't as if the whole winter you could be 100% thinking about Limerick. But our suspicions were that they would be too strong for Cork at the time, because, as I said, they were a fine, fine team.
We had to go to Cork, and Cork hadn't been never at home in 75 years in the championship, so to be calling.
I remember being asked, I think it was around March or that way, March or April, by somebody, how would we get on? Now, remember, we were playing Cork down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, who had never been beaten down there in the championship. And I was asked by a fella, how will you get on this year? And I said, we'll beat Cork. And I said, I don't know how we'll do after that. Now, he was kind of looking at me with two heads. And I had it based on the training we were doing early in the year. We were training inside in UL on the running track, and I remember after a savage hard session, we were doing the last run, and there was guys jostling for position up at the front to try and win it. And I just said, God, these guys are really tuned in and hungry. So I suppose from that on, we had a kind of a confidence that we were going to go to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and win, and we did.
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. You could pick any Limerick man, I suppose, as men of the match, but the Limerick half-back line have been the winner, and if they are, Mark Foley has been outstanding, and I've picked Mark Foley in his first championship match, has been the outstanding player on view here today.
Gary Kirby, they're really now just tormenting the Cork backs, and that's been the case all through the second half. And that's just gone wide, can't have been too much in it there for Owen O'Neill. And I think Jimmy Barry and Tom Cashman will feel that they prepared their team well, but they've just run into a banging form Limerick side this afternoon. There, Frankie Carroll, and the referee's whistle and sound, but it's all over. Cork's record in Páirc Uí Chaoimh of never losing at the championship is now consigned to history. Well, if you're a Cork fan, it makes dismal reading. If you're a Limerick fan, you're probably in seventh heaven. It's 3-18 to 1-8. It's Limerick v Clare in a few weeks' time in the Munster semi-final.
That day going into the Gaelic grounds, the tension was unbelievable. I remember driving in the road and I was listening to Live 95 and Declan Corpus was actually on. And he started talking about the match and my stomach just turned. I went out the back, I had to get out of the car. I actually got sick. So, and there was cars passing going in, obviously, early to get a few drinks in, to park up in town and that. So there were supporters passing out the goalie, getting sick out the back of the car.
They were mecca days for local radio. Local radio was in its infancy. There was great rivalry between ourselves and the likes of Matthew McMahon and Clare FM. Exciting days to be involved.
You had almost an unprecedented build-up to a semi-final. Now, granted, it's knockout hurling, and it's actually 1996 was the last year when you had a knockout championship from start to finish. There was absolutely no back door. You had an unprecedented build-up, and I remember even like being at work at the time, and look, we know the geographical proximity of Limerick and Clare. We're right in top of each other. I think it's the most underrated sometimes rivalry in the GAA because of that fact.
Jesus, when you come over the little ridge of the traffic license and you could not see Carmack at him as far as the Gaelic grounds, all you could see was bodies. And the Davin Arms, of course, there at that time, and everyone outside the Davin right across the road, up along, and the famous quote from Lochan on the bus as we were trying to get through the crowd and everyone roaring, and like he said, look at, he says, this is the stuff your fathers and your grandfather told you about. This is the Munster Championship, you know. And if any few hairs we had in our head weren't standing at that stage on the back of our head.
It was an absolute scorcher of a day. I ended up getting sunstruck.
Like, you could even see the tar, kind of, you know, it kind of, I'd say it was kind of boiling in the Innes Road, you know, and the stream of people coming down along past, we say, the old Devon Adams that was there at the time, you know. It was absolutely electric. That atmosphere and the heat inside in the ground. It was a special day.
The build-up was, as you know, as close to Naples was high. The support from both counties was exceptional.
The atmosphere, as people were wedged in. You know, you're playing the All-Ireland champion, who you feel you should have had an All Ireland. They had it, we hadn't. Do you know, it was a cauldron that day.
Leading into it, I suppose it was a kind of we wanted to get one over on them, I suppose, and they were trying to defend it. So I suppose having to play the game earlier, we had that bit of an advantage going into it, and having to play it in our own patch as well was a help.
It was just a fantastic day. The atmosphere in the Gaelic grounds and the colour. I mean, I have brother-in-law's Limerick, and you know the houses were divided. You know, they went to the games like one of them wearing the Clare colours and the other wearing the Limerick colours.
Willie Barrett gets it underway on the most eagerly championship match of the season awaited so far here. The players are going to lose a couple of pounds out there because it is so sticky. Real barbecue weather.
It's only now when I look back in it, I'm watching matches back on the telly from 25 years ago plus, and I'm going, how in the name of Jesus did I play in that? How did I have the nerve?
They knew they were taking on the All-Ireland champion, they had scores to settle as well. So, yeah, I've never witnessed a build-up, to be honest, for any game. Even All-Ireland, you know, you might think that's a bizarre thing to say, but it was so local, it was so tribal.
I was sweating and I was only on the sideline. You know, I can only imagine what the players were like. And I suppose one of the key things was getting water into them, you know, like... It was before, that you could officially run on, but you were running on with water all the time to try and get water into them, because it really was. It was a full house. Clare were All-Ireland champions. I mean, it must have been one of the hottest days of the summer. And it was a brilliant game.
One close colleague of mine, I think he was there with his girlfriend at the time, and she kind of passed out on the day at half time. He wanted to watch the game, but he had to go under the stand and look after her.
It was a magnificent day, like, you know, it'd be huge. Packed capacity, All-Ireland champions, and the home sort of sales, and definitely like was one of the matches, I suppose, of the ticket, really, you know, and it ended up in a, you know, huge amount of excitement.
Jamesy, right on the sideline, and that's gone over the bar. That's an amazing point. So the team's level for the fourth time in this Guinness Monster Championship match.
I suppose the performance of certain players that day as well was electric, you know, and the physical exchanges in the game. I mean, you had Lone at full back for Clare. I thought he was unbelievable that day. As I say, you had Ciarán playing Gary Kirby, Mike Hoolan, Davy Clark, and of course Stephen McDonough, Conor Back. You know, these were all brilliant players. You know, they were thinking of 95. By Jesus, Clare are not going to put us down this year. You know what I mean?
Clare were a tremendous team as well. Great. Physicality, sport, and tremendous, I mean, physique about them, and they had everything, and they were a driven team, you know, I mean, it's what you want, really, like, that's what championship hurling is about, like.
At the time, between those players, like Ciarán and PJ O'Connell, and then you'd Mike Hoolan and Ali Baker in the middle of the field, and, you know, you had great matchups, like Gary Corby and Shannon McMahon, so there was, you know, brilliant players on both sides of it, on both teams. Like, so it was probably, like I said, growing up, those were two of the best teams in the country.
You know, you had Ali Baker outside in the middle of the field, was a powerhouse, but I think Hoolan quietened him that day. Or Sean O'Neill, one of the two of them. He got a belt anyway, and no one, I think, in the country, probably bar who hit him, and bar Ali, I don't know, did he even know who hit him at class of that day?
Yeah, Ali did. Ali should have gone off. Like, I mean, he's cheekbone, he still has a scar to this day, and maybe Ali should have gone off and Mike should have been sent off, to be honest with you. But look, I wouldn't have held that against Ulan either, because we were all in the thick of everything at that stage. There was three or four sent off in certain league games around then. And
it was kind of tit for tat for a while, and Clare kind of went ahead, I think. And then Gary came back and he scored a superb goal there in the first half.
It's a real battle here in Limerick, this one. On towards Gary Kirby. Is he going to go for a goal? Gary Kirby hitting it and scoring. It was a wonderful long ball. He had support, he didn't need it, and he crushed a brilliant goal. And Limerick have the lead once more. And the crowd now raising the decibel level, getting behind the two teams. So much at stake for amateur players.
I think we were going very well, I think, until Gary Kirby got a great goal. And, you know, I think that goal kind of, I suppose the person that scored it as well, you know, there's certain players, and if they score, it's worth more than a goal, you know what I mean? You know, and I think if any other player from Limerick got it, I don't think it'd have been as important. Gary got it, He stuck it away very, very well.
I was fortunate enough to get a goal there before half time from a super pass from Paul Tobin, and that kind of set us nicely. Clare kind of pulled away gradually, small. I think they were 3 or 4 points up. We pulled back a few points, so it was kind of a tit for tat for each other, you know.
Gary was our flagship forward at the time, and he was key for that Limerick team, and delivered every day he played. Like, it's like following any team. Like when the key player scores, it's a big fill up.
I made an awesome mistake. Tell you the truth now, I came across behind Sonny and Gary Kirby, and it was an easy pick up and clear the ball for me, and I fumbled the ball. Gary got it off me, and he got a clear run through the centre and buried it. Like.
Did Daly admit that? I wish I would chat with him about that, look, you know what I mean? Yeah, look, that's the one thing we had that time in both counties, I think. We had very, very honest players. You know, they were going to give it all, and they were going to stand up on the day to whatever was thrown at them. But if they made a mistake, I think they were well. Daly, I would say Daly was the fault, the goal, really. He should never let it happen. But look, these things happen, you know. He had given me a great day as well, you know what I mean?
Lovely pause, and he puts it over the bar. And Clare lead by a point. It's tough, but then winning the All-Ireland is never meant to be easy. Three men after him. And that's a fine score. Still a lot of tension around here. Clare wondering, can they hold on to their title?
Barry Foley was 19 years of age. Not many, but Tom Ryan had great faith in Barry. Barry was a very important substitute. He was wearing 21. I recall that. He was 19 years of age. He scored 2 points, I think. One was the equalising point, and that levelled it.
He came on again, scored two vital points, and Gary Kirby scored a point in between as well. So it was very much the Patrick Swell trio that kind of got us back in contention of Kirby and Barry Foley when he came on as a sub.
10 minutes, 15 minutes to go, looking up at the stand, we were down 3 or 4 points more even. We possibly could have been down, thinking, okay, because that time it was knockout, thinking, where will I be going on my holidays? My uncle Mike, I think, was doing a steward behind the goal at the City Inn where I was, and he threw me out a ball once, and I poked it, and I was walking back, and I said, it's not looking good, is it? And he said, no. And next minute, and I think Barry Foley came out and took over and started popping balls over the bar. Then we definitely had momentum.
I was called on with, I don't know, a few minutes ago. I was in shock if I got called, to be honest about it. I wasn't expecting to. I see him calling me. I thought someone wanted water. But no, I was thrown in, and it was my first taste of Munster Championship.
The squad were very important. Very important to me at all time, you know, that we had replacements. That no matter what number you were very important, and you were going to be, at any time, you were going to be called into action and be ready. You know, that was our core, really, of what we, of the way we prepared for the matches, you know.
We're in injury time. Here on Limerick. Been urged on. Barry Foley. It's high. It's over the bar. Level for the ninth time. What a match.
Wonder was it Liam Dye got a ball, and I came in and dispossessed him, and Rose and myself, and they were calling for a free. I think the ball half to my hand two or three times before I actually caught it and put it over the bar.
They were very confident at that particular time, because their mentors were smiling and joking on the sideline, and until Barry Foley changed the whole thing, blocking down a tremendous block down, and a score from, I suppose, would be of same equal quality as Tim Terry. I mean, he blocked down Liam Dye. Liam Dye was winding up to drive a ball in as far as the tree stone. And Tim's, and I mean, Barry blocked him on one hand, ran on, grabbed the ball, and straight over the bar. Tremendous score, actually.
The second one, I think it was the ball that came across. I think it was Gary, actually, squared it across the 21, and I rolled it, nuts, hit it over the bar. So, yeah, things worked out for me on the day. You can come on some days, and you won't get a sniff, but some days the ball just falls, you know, lucky enough for me that day.
Every score was just fought really, really hard for, and we were playing against, as I said, one of the better defences, kind of maybe of a hurling era. I mean, they just had an incredible team. Obviously with Dial, China McMahon, and Daly, half back line very strong, and the Lawns, and like David Fitz and goal, like, so they didn't come much better than that. So it was tight. Everything was fought really, really hard for, as I said, and about to get those couple of scores, kept us in the game, and kept it really, really tight, and kind of set it up for that grandstand finish.
Is there much time left?
We saw him going, and we were there, go on. And next minute he kind of half stumbled and went again. And next minute he turned around onto his weaker side. Now we used to be always
Garden Kieran about his weaker side, and next thing when we saw him turning to his weaker side, I think every one of us went no, and next thing he just struck it, and if you watch it again, it just looped over, because I'd say at that stage his energy levels had to be, he had to be running on empty with the performance he was after giving, and the place just erupted.
It's gone down in folklore now, you know, one of the best points I suppose I was ever, winning score that was ever gotten in any match. Brilliant player, great player, and the right player, I suppose, if we were expecting any player to do that, it would be Kieran Carey, you know.
Someone would expect the ball to lay it off, and Gary was on the, he was on the run as well, and that would be part of the whole, you know, the Patrick Swell part of his life, and the teammates there, he went with him and he took the dummy run.
Yeah, but I mean, he caught it, he opened up love for him, and he kept going, you know. I think I'm right, if he needed me, I'm sure, I think Gary was the other side, maybe TJ. He had options, but he'd only one thing in his head that opened up like that. That was go for the juggler, as he always did throughout his career. If he saw an opportunity, he'd take it, and what a point.
And the score and the swerve and the actual movement itself, the catch, you know, at that particular type of at time in the match, after in the heat and with the pressure, it had the skill, the catch, the, you know, the look up, the duck or the dive, and the kind of, the, you know, the swerve and the clear defender. Like, I mean, the midfielder, whoever, whichever one it was, to slip and, you know, take the dummy by Kieran and off his wrist, you know, over the back. Just score it. There's no doubt about that. He brought back everything, and it gave tremendous. I mean, it showed like the quality of the team itself, you know.
Diego slipped and tripped up, and Kieran held his balance somehow, and then I think we were all scattering to try and get out to him, but at that stage it was too late. But he had caught it twice, and in turn to hit it off the hurley at that pace, so in those circumstances, with his feet hanging off, I mean, with blood nearly at this stage, and I think a lot of us were feeling that at that stage, but it was only probably Kieran could do it, to be honest, to give him all the credit, because what a fantastic player and an athlete and great bloke as well, and it was somewhere to win a game. I have to say that, like, it was the most memorable winning score anyway that I ever saw.
I remember he taken off his boots and he took off his socks. This was after signing autographs, after coming in, maybe 20 minutes after the match, whatever. And he actually had no skin on the soles of his feet. And I remember we went up to the shower, he had one hand on my shoulder, and he was practically limping, trying to walk up to the shower. And like what the man had done 20 minutes previous, with the way that his feet were, he actually had no skin in the bottom. Not only, like, the blisters had probably come, the blisters had torn off the soles of his feet, and to do what he did was just, it was mind-blowing.
He always wore the steel stud. I think it was a Patrick Swell thing as well. We're all told wear steel stud. If you slip, you cause a score, you could lose a match in it. So that's steel studs came from.
Fans, the subs are ready to come in. Doesn't go next to near the target, but it doesn't matter. It's all over. Limerick have won. But what a match. What a finish.
The final whistle goes, and I just kind of looked down. I jumped up, and before you know it, there's hundreds of supporters in the field, and they're lifting you up, and you can hardly get to the rest of them. It was, for me personally, it was surreal, you know, at the end of the match. It was my first game, and to experience them scenes after the match, and the joy of the supporters, and the joy inside in the dressing room, and it was a brilliant, brilliant occasion.
And a sad note, personally, for myself, leaving home that morning, one of the last people I met was my grandmother, my mother's mother, Molly Walsh, and she was at her house time, and very shortly after I left for the game, she passed away. So she was fine when I was leaving, and then by the time that the game was over, one of the first people to meet me told me that my grandmother had passed away. So that was obviously a sad note, but the abiding memory again is just a victory over Clare, which was great for Limerick and great for us to be back in the Munster final.
It was the most memorable of the day, I heard, to be honest with you. And that includes winning the two All-Ireland. Just took on a life of its own.
Like, the atmosphere when we came out of the dressing room after, you had all the Innes Road there and the green outside. The Gaelic grounds was full of people, and you had Limerick people ribbing Clare people about the Clare roar. I remember someone stood up in a rock and started roaring out, and they said, lads, have you heard the new Clare roar?
someone said no, and next minute this fella just stood there with his mouth open and no sound out of it.
The fans were in top of you and the supporters were in top of you, you know, and winning beats all, I suppose, and the thrill of going further. But even at that stage, over the next few minutes, you wouldn't think much about it. But once we got into the dressing room, we settled down a bit, we realised, like, we still had much of the final to play, you know.
2 or 3 weeks later, I think it was 3 weeks later, we met Tipperary in the Gaelic grounds, and whether it was the fact that, of the intensity of the Clare game or whatever, but Tipperary were a lot sharper and stuff the first half of that game. And Liam Cahill, the current Waterford manager, I remember, he was only under 21 at the time, scored a goal. And they went in leading at 10 points at half time. And we're all looking at each other. This kind of dull day, it wasn't like the day against Clare. Now, it was dull, it was heavy. We're all thinking, like, what the hell is going on here? You know, we'd hammered Cork, won this epic match against Clare, and now we're 10 points down against Tipperary.
I think it's just, it's bred into us as to Limerick people to know that we won't ever lie down. Look, all of the teams coming up along have had bad days at the office and that, but we seem to bounce back. We're a resilient bunch in Limerick, and, you know, I suppose when we're put down and our backs are to the wall, is probably where we're at our most dangerous.
This never say die attitude of that, with Kieran Carey as captain as well. And they just fought and fought and fought and worked themselves back into a position again by scoring purely points. They didn't get a goal, actually, funny enough, against a decent Tipperary side, you know. They brought on Frankie Coward as a sub, and I remember it was actually Frankie who made quite an impact that day and got the equalising point at the very death as well to bring it to a replay. But that was another epic game as well for the Gaelic grounds.
To win a second Munster title inside 3 years was just magical for Limerick, and the way they did so, 1996, okay, Kieran Carey's point was the obvious highlight. Before that, we had beaten Cork for the first time in well over 20 years at Páirc Cliath, something that couldn't be done, but Limerick did do it. And then we had those two outings with Tipperary. A drawn Munster final, we came from, let's put it, from Knocknagoshal. We fought our way back into the game and we drew it. And then we had the replay. Kieran Carey was actually man of the match, the RT man of the match, in that replayed Munster final, Limerick 4-7, Tip 16 points. And one of the stars of that day was Owen O'Neill. He scored two goals, and those two goals were crucial, absolutely crucial, to winning that Munster Championship of 96.
I would say 96 against Wexford was the one we really left behind us. You know, I didn't think we performed anywhere near we should have left. So overall, I'd say we were a fair, we had a good team. We just didn't get over the line, you know, when it was wanted, really.
The very minute the whistle blew above in Cork Park in 18, and I think the way Declan Hannan spoke and said that this was for all the people, the players, the management that had gone before, I think that put everything to bed. All the hurt, all the what ifs, all the maybes, all the hurt from losing them matches and things in 94, 96, 2007, I think that put it to bed. Would I have loved to have won in Ireland? Absolutely. But look, out of my career, I'd 2 league medals, 2 Railway Cup medals, 2 Munster Championships, 2 All-Stars and 2 All-Ireland runners-up. Like, you can be selfish. And yes, I would like to have had the All-Irelands, but looking back, it's only now looking back at it, I go, do you know what? They were great times.
The past Limerick management, Limerick players, the early guys that drove us and inspired us when we were young lads looking up to all of you. So hope that all of you here today are enjoying this as much as we are, and are going to enjoy the next few days as much as we are.
That 94 team, 95 team, 96 team, and Tom Ryan managed us and Dave Mahidi trained us. But Limerick have got more out of that team, out of that era. The amount of players that have gone on, been selectors, managed teams, Shane Fitzgibbon, Mike Galligan, Frankie Carroll, Ger Hegarty, myself, all people that got involved, Ger Cunningham from Knockaney, all people that got involved straight away after finishing our careers and got involved with academies. David Clark and the lads, they all got involved at some stage. TJ went on to manage it, John Coyley went on to manage teams. Every one of that 94 team at some stage have done something with their club, done something at inter-county level for Limerick. I would say there's very few of them have walked away from the game.
When you get a jersey for your county or club or whatever, you've only the loan of it and you try and represent it and they leave it in a better place than when you got it. But I suppose everybody goes in to try and do that. That's what makes the GA what it is.
Joe wasn't mine, obviously, and he would have been someone I looked up to. I have a relative on a Limerick team. It's, you kind of always kind of look up to them, really enjoyed watching players like Kieran Carey and those lads would have been heroes of mine going up. So it wasn't just Joe, there was loads of players on both those teams that you would have looked up to.
In the 90s, every match we played was a final. And we had, I think we played about 14 or 15 championship matches. We didn't lose too many of them. And they were all against top test opposition in Munster and overall. It was a great time. And a great, we had a great vision for Limerick. That Limerick would be seen as a sporting team. In 4 years of championship hurling, no Limerick player was sent to the line, was sent off. An average of 8 or 9 frees against us in 4 years. As a top competition at level. I didn't hear anyone ever talking about those records or anything like that. No, you see, once you fail at the final hurdle, well, then everything pierces go to dust. And that's a pity, because hurling is a sport, and I always looked at hurling, Trevor, as a sport, and I always will, because that's what we're there for, that's what I've always enjoyed myself down the years, and it's not a job. The people that play the amateurs, we have to respect them and enjoy them, and we have to support them in every possible way.
I loved it. I was fortunate and I got to live my dream. Like, when I was growing up in Athlone, it didn't kind of reach me for a while that it was a possibility to just go and play for Limerick. But look, when you start playing with a club and things start going well for you, all of a sudden the possibility of wearing a green jersey kind of comes into your mind and stuff. And it was still a dream at that time. And for me to land in the middle of the 90s and to be sitting inside the dressing room with the likes of Gerry Hegarty and Mike Houlihan, Gary Kirby, Kieran Carey, these were guys that I had looked up to in the early 90s, and for me to be in a dressing room beside them was just awesome, and I was just thrilled to be part of it. And we did have brilliant times, and we had a couple of trips out of it, obviously, from being successful, and a couple of trips out foreign, and like great memories. And look, like it was just a fantastic time. And I was just fortunate that my first year happened to be 1994. Like, timing, so if you can be lucky and unlucky and being in the right place at the right time. But I was definitely fortunate to be part of a good team.
And Joe Leary indicating that as well to the man in question. So the free back here to be taken by Mike Houlihan, just inches outside his own defensive 45, as Limerick claim a 4-point lead. In towards the full forward line, this will be driven. Houlihan is the man to drive it. He does so as well. In towards Frankie Carl. Owen O'Neill can score! A second goal for Owen O'Neill! A second goal for Owen O'Neill! Limerick lead by 7 points! What a transformation by the men in green and white, the men from the banks of the Shannon, the men from Fionnabhuri, Kilmarnock, Patrickswell, Maroubo, Horsahon, Gary Spillan and the Piercing. They've taken the command of the game. 4 goals and 5 points for Limerick. Tipperary 10 points, 7 points the margin now. 17 points to 10, the scoreboard to my left. The scoreboard to my right is Limerick 4-5, Tipperary 2 points. The chant goes up for the men of Limerick and Tipperary as well, but the Limerick chant is higher. It's one for Tipperary by Liam McGrath. Limerick wouldn't want to lapse now. It comes towards Declan Ryan of Tipperary. Ryan strikes it in, and the margin is down to 2 goals. He's 40, he's 30, he strikes it in, left and wide, but a wide is as good as a score for Limerick now. The slither has been found. Brennan Cummins puts out the ball for Tipperary, down towards the 45, up goes Declan Ryan, Aidan Ryan leaves the goal, now towards Mark Foley. Mark Foley sweeps too high, he misses connection to the slither. It's Tipperary that have it, they're striking it in, the margin is a goal. Kevin Tucker has scored a point. Kevin Tucker has scored a point. There's just a goal between Tipperary and Limerick. Is it over? Joe Craig comes it out. The Munster final is over. Limerick are Munster senior hurling champions at Corky Thieve in Cork. They've beaten Tipperary in a replay. A great, great replay. The punch I can see him. He congratulates Kieran Carey. Well done, Kieran Carey. Well done, Limerick. You're the Munster champions and worthy champions of Milanegate, no cachet. Limerick have achieved it.